Welcome to this week's broadcast of Transforming Grace. This is a ministry of the Institute for Biblical Preaching. My name is Roger Pasco, and I'm speaking to you from Canada. We're trusting God to use these messages on this radio station each week to bless you, to encourage you, and to build you up in the Lord. We're studying John's Gospel, and today we turn again to chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 25, 26, and 27. We looked at 25 last time, and we're going to continue that little passage, verses 25 to 27 of John chapter 11, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So if you have a Bible handy there, please turn there so that you can read along with us as we go through this passage. Now before I read it, let's pray together. Lord, I pray that all of those who are listening to this broadcast today will be looking to you for spiritual food to satisfy their hunger for you. I pray for those who are Christians that they may be built up in their most holy faith. I pray for those who are not Christians that they will be turned to you in saving faith and know the joy of having sins forgiven and the security of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So help us today as we study this together. We thank you for the beauty and the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me read that again for you. John 11, verses 25 to 27. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Well, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture that brings us hope and security. As we noticed last time, Jesus claims the power that is given to him, the power of resurrection and the power of life. And then we notice that Jesus promises the life that is in him. He promises resurrection life to those who have died. Those who die in Christ, those who die in faith in him, he promises resurrection life. And isn't that a wonderful hope for us all who have had family members and loved ones and friends die? But we know that they died in Christ. We know that they were believers. They were his sheep when they died. And it brings us comfort and hope that they will rise again when the Lord Jesus returns for all of those who love him. My mother died just last December, just a few months ago. She was 86 years old. We didn't expect her to die, but she died very quickly in a matter of a couple of weeks. But I have the peace and the assurance of knowing that when she died, in that moment, she was absent from the body and present with the Lord. And I know, because of her faith in Jesus Christ, that when he comes again, her body will be raised. She will be reunited with her body. And together with all of those who love him, she will be raised from the grave. Because he rose from the grave, because he has conquered death, we also shall be raised by him, to be with him, to meet him in the air. And so we shall always be, forever be, with the Lord. That is a wonderful hope and security and peace and assurance. Even though we miss our loved ones and our family members, even though we sorrow because they're no longer here, yet the Bible tells us that we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. We sorrow, but as those who have full hope, full assurance, that our loved one has gone to be with Jesus, and one day we will be reunited with them again. So we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. The people who sorrow without any hope are those who are not believers. and they have no hope for their friends and family who have died, who are not believers. They sorrow as those with no hope. And we often wonder, what helps these people to live their life? How do they get along? How do they deal with their grief when they don't know where their loved one has gone? Well, I suppose Satan whispers the lie to them and tries to convince them that somehow their loved one has just been annihilated, just been finished. Their life is over. They die just like a dog, just like an animal, that there is nothing after death, and they just go back to the grave and to the dust, and that's the end. There is no future. But we know that that's not true. We know that that's a lie of Satan. We know that there is a future, that there is a life beyond death. And for those of us who have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the peace, the assurance, the confidence, and the hope of spending eternity with Him. Jesus then promises resurrection life to those who have died in Him. And Jesus promises immortal life or eternal life to those who are alive. Look what it says in verse 26. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never ever die. That's what it really means there. Never ever die. The promise to the believer who is alive is that at the return of Christ, we will receive eternal life. We will have an immortal soul. The mortality of our body, the decay and the death of the body will be swallowed up by life. The promise to the believer who is alive at the return of Christ is that we will never die. We will not experience it in this life, because we will be translated into Christ's presence, given new bodies, glorified, resurrected bodies, to live with Him. And the immortal soul of the believer will never be separated from God, will never ever die. Trusting Christ guarantees the security of never ever tasting eternal death. So here is a wonderful promise. To those who are alive when Jesus comes, we just are translated immediately into His presence. We never go through the experience of death. Those who have died will be raised and given new bodies, and with us will be raised to be with Christ. But even now, even in their death now, in this life, their souls will never be separated from God. They have an immortal soul. And we all have the guarantee from Jesus Himself of the security of never tasting eternal death. That is the death of those who do not believe. They will enter into at the great white throne. They will enter into the judgment of God, which is an eternal death, which means they will be eternally separated from Him. But Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never ever die. What a promise to believers. What a promise to believers who are alive when Jesus comes. You'll never ever die. That's our hope, you know. Our hope is not to die. Our hope is that Jesus will come while we are alive. Now, if He doesn't come while we are alive, we have the security of knowing that our souls will go to be with Jesus immediately upon our death, and our bodies will be raised immediately upon His return. But the real hope of the believer is that the Lord Jesus will come while we're alive. That's why we pray, even so, come Lord Jesus, come now. Take your waiting people home. And we cry out like the psalmist did, how long, O Lord? How long is it going to be? Well, we know that He's delaying His return because He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And that is the grace of God. Unbelievers think that the first death, that is physical death in this life, is the end of everything. They don't believe that faith in Christ secures life beyond the grave. For them, death is a foe, is an enemy which cannot be conquered. For them, there's nothing after physical death in this world, but they're just deceived, you see. The Bible speaks of eternal life and the second death. Eternal life is the possession of those who trust Christ as Savior. But for those who die in unbelief, there is a second death. In other words, they not only the death of the body here in this world, but the death of the soul, when they will be cast into outer darkness and they will experience eternal separation from God. Now you need to figure out what you believe. You need to understand the truth of life and death. We all need to understand the truth of heaven and hell, of time and eternity, and of the distinction between the physical and the spiritual. For believers, the second death has no power over us. We have no fear of the second death. In other words, we have no fear of ever being separated from God. We have eternal life from the moment of faith in Christ. Do you have that assurance? And is that promise of Jesus real to you? Well, Jesus' promise of life is not without its conditions. He promises resurrection life to those who have died. He promises immortal life to those who are alive when he returns. But Jesus' promise is conditional on having faith. It's the one who believes in me. The limitation then of Jesus' promise is to the one who believes. This isn't teaching universal salvation. Everyone is not going to be saved. But belief and eternal life go together. Whoever believes in him should not perish, John 3:16 says, but have everlasting life. You see, everlasting life is conditional upon belief. It's a matter of your relationship with Jesus Christ. John 3 and verse 36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And then again in the first epistle of John, chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So you see, it's very clear in the Scriptures that it is a matter of relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a matter of having the Son, of believing in the Son, of receiving the Son of God in order to have life. So the limitation to Jesus' promise of eternal life is that it is only to the one who believes. And Jesus' personal challenge is, do you believe this? In verse 26. Jesus said to Martha, and he says to you today, do you believe this? You see, what's critical to Jesus' promise of eternal life is belief or faith. Only the one who believes has the assurance of eternal life. Only the one with faith, though dead like Lazarus, shall rise again. Jesus' promise of life is qualified by a critical question, a question that goes to the heart of this issue. It's a question of faith. Do you believe this? This is the most important question, the question of faith. It is a challenge to Martha and all like her. In effect, Jesus is saying, you believe in the resurrection of the dead. Well, you do well. But do you believe who I am? That I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection because I've conquered death. And I am the life because I am its creator. Do you believe that I am God and have the keys of death and the grave? This is really the question that Jesus is asking. What do you believe about Jesus Christ as to who he is? It's important to have faith in Christ, and it's important to know why you believe what you believe. And so we ask you the same question that Jesus asked. Do you believe this? Do you believe what I've just said about myself, Jesus says. He says, do you believe the promise that I've just made? Do you know who I am and what I offer and who can receive it? And so let me ask you, as Jesus asked Martha, do you believe? Do you believe that the claims of Jesus Christ are true? Do you believe that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that therefore all die, and that after death all is the judgment? Do you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost? Do you believe that when we are justified by faith, we have peace with God? Do you believe that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for those who love him? Do you believe that when he comes again, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? How much do you really know about Jesus Christ? Do you have a general knowledge of Christ as Savior, but know little of his resurrection power? You need to know him, Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, and the power of his resurrection. That's Philippians 3 and verse 10. We have a hymn that we sing here in Canada. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. In other words, that hymn is saying, I know whom I have believed, and I know that he is going to carry out what he has promised, that he is going to raise me at the last day, that he is going to save me, just as he said. Jesus' question here demands a response, not just an intellectual response. It's not like agreeing that 2 + 2 = 4. There are no eternal consequences to that. But this is a question that demands a response of faith. It demands trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It demands reality in what you say you believe. It demands conviction that will change your life. So Jesus claims the power that is given him, the power of resurrection, and the power of life. And Jesus promises the life that is in him. He promises resurrection life to those who have died. He promises immortal life to those who are alive at his second coming. And then thirdly, Jesus honors the faith that trusts him. This is verse 27 of our passage. Martha said to Jesus, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus honors the faith that trusts him. We often compare Martha with Mary, and we conclude so often that Martha comes up short. We look at the situation here in this passage. If we went back a few verses and find that Mary worships Jesus while Martha works. Mary is absorbed with Jesus while Martha is engaged with cooking. Mary sits and waits for Jesus while Martha walks around and worries. But here, in this verse, Martha has it all right. Martha makes this wonderful confession. So let's give Martha her due, her credit. In just a few words, she summarizes the entire messianic message of hope from the Old Testament and identifies it with Jesus. Jesus honors faith that trusts him. He honors faith that trusts him by responding to his word. Martha immediately says, in answer to Jesus' question, do you believe this? She immediately and without any qualification says, yes. She accepts what he says with no hesitation, with no conditions, with no alterations. She subscribes to the truth of everything Jesus has declared about himself and everything he has promised to those who trust him. She says, yes, Lord, I believe. One writer many years ago said, faith is an echo to divine revelation. In other words, our faith is a response to what is revealed to us by God. Faith accepts as fact what God has said. Faith speaks the same words. Faith abides by the same conditions. Not only does Jesus honor faith that trusts him by responding to his word, but he honors faith that trusts him by submitting to his authority. Martha calls him by his rightful title, Lord. That is his title of authority, Lord. She saw him for who he was. He is the Lord. And as the Lord, she submits to his authority over her, his lordship. He is her master. He is the one who controls her life. He is the one under whom she serves and to whom she submits. She calls him Lord. Jesus honors faith that trusts him by responding to his word. He honors faith that trusts him by submitting to his authority. And he honors faith that trusts him by confessing his person. Martha confesses what she believes. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. This is a confession that he is the promised Messiah. He is the one who is promised in the Old Testament and who has now come. If she admits that Jesus is the Christ, then she can easily believe that he is the resurrection and the life. How can bodies which have returned to dust live again? Only through the resurrection power of the Messiah. How can souls that are stained with sin and earthbound as ours live forever? Only through the life-giving power of the Son of God. She says, I believe that you are the promised Messiah, the Son of God. I believe that you are the one who is to come into the world. In other words, the prophecy that she knew from the Old Testament, she now confesses by faith. The Redeemer, who is to come, has actually come, and is here now, she says. Her glorious confession is a reflection of Christ's glorious statement. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And she says, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. This is a fuller confession than any other confession in the New Testament. So whenever we think of Martha, don't let us think of her in terms of her complaining about Mary, not helping her in the kitchen, and all those things that we often think about. Let us think of her in terms of this wonderful, glorious, full confession of faith. John the Baptist confessed when he said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, in John 1 and 29. The disciple Andrew said, We have found the Messiah. The disciple Philip said, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. And Simon Peter, you'll remember, said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, in John 6 and verse 69. But here Martha says, You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus honors faith that trusts him. Have you responded to Jesus and to his word in faith? Have you submitted to his authority, his lordship, his rule over your life? Have you confessed his person as to who he is? Have you trusted him for time and eternity? Do you have hope beyond the grave? Remember, as in life, so in death, faith in Jesus is our only hope. Since Jesus is God, our hope can securely rest in his powerful claim that he is the resurrection and the life. Since Jesus is God, our hope can securely rest in his promise of life that those who believe in him will live forever. And since Jesus is God, our hope can securely rest in his honor of faith. So place your faith in him. Faith in Jesus is our only hope. Make Jesus' great promise your great hope. His promise is, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's Jesus' great promise. Make that your great hope, so that when you face tragedy and even death, despite your grief, you will be able to face it with certainty and confidence. Well, our time is gone again for today. I look forward to being with you again the next time on this station. And if these Bible messages are helping you, why not have a friend listen to them with you so that you can both talk about the Bible lesson after the broadcast is finished? Thank you for listening to Transforming Grace. May you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.